Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Church in Crisis. This is a special call-in dialogue. Now, WBEN's Brian Mazurowski and WKBW-TV investigative reporter Charlie Specht.
It's 11:08 on WBEN. Thanks so much for sticking with us throughout the morning. It's been a very interesting show. Brian Mazurowski here, Charlie Speck from Channel 7 joining me alongside. And if you missed our last segment, Father Richard Biernat calling in. And Father Richard, we had to break. Sorry about that and to put you back on hold, but did want to get you the final word here. What are you expecting going forward after you shared your story? What's next for you? Are you in a state of limbo right now?
Kind of. I'm still a chaplain at the Carmelite Monastery, so I focus my ministry on that. And actually, I've been doing a lot of ministry on Facebook, and people, all the victims, some that they haven't come forward yet, victims, adult victims of sexual assaults and harassment from priests and seminarians, and number of priests from the country and the world reaching out to me from Australia, from Ireland, talking, knowing that I would understand their stories. So that's been a big part of my time that I've been, you know, I've had right now. So working with the victims. But, you know, I want to bring up one issue that perhaps is overlooked here about Bishop Malone, that, you know, there's a lot of pressure from within the bishops, I know at least from our province, that they're pressuring him to stay in power because they are afraid if Bishop Malone goes, then it will be like a domino effect. People will realize that they have power, and then it will snowball into a movement for laity to reclaim power within the church. So I know some bishops were calling Bishop Malone, saying, "Richard, don't resign, because if you go, I'll be next." So that's something that is going on, too. So there's not only pressure that Bishop Malone, you know, wants to stay in power, but also he's pressured by his brother bishops to stay in power.
So you're saying that it could be sort of a domino effect, that if Bishop Malone steps down, that, you know, the other faithful Catholics in the church would then be sort of taking back power from the clergy in other cities.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Father Richard, we appreciate for sure that you called in this morning, and good luck in your future, and, you know, kind of what that holds. I'm sure it's going to be another busy week ahead. That's Father Richard Biernat joining us live here on WBEN. Brian Mazurowski alongside Charlie Specht. To that point that Father Richard made, how much of your investigative work, and how much do you think of the people who go to church every Sunday, their cries for some sort of action to be done, is stymied by just that hierarchy, the structure of the Catholic Church?
So one of the things that, you know, has really dawned on me here throughout this whole crisis is that, you know, we've seen this displayed here in Buffalo, is that the Catholic Church is not a democracy. We're so used to, in this country, you know, we have the three branches of government, legislative, executive, judicial, and America, but the Catholic Church is essentially an autocracy run by one man, the Pope, and it is a hierarchical organization that is organized in the same way that it was organized in medieval times. And what many bishops even will complain with, Bishop Malone has complained about this, that there is often a logjam of abuse cases once they go to the Vatican. Now, this is something that a lot of Catholics, I think, are going to be shocked and angry about. We're going to break a story about this in the next couple of weeks. Because of the way things were handled in Buffalo, 2002, after the Boston scandal, the Vatican made new rules saying that all abuse cases needed to be forwarded to the Vatican, And they would make the ultimate decision of whether a priest was defrocked or laicized, and essentially returned. They call it returned to the lay state. So basically, he becomes not a priest anymore. None of these cases, or at least most of these cases, were not sent to the Vatican, either under Bishop Malone's successors or throughout the first few years of his administration. He says that he has been proactive sending these to Rome, but the net effect here is that you have priests who were removed from ministry who are still on the payroll of the Diocese of Buffalo. You have a priest, Father David Bielkowski is one of them. He was removed in 2011 and from ministry. He is still getting paid a paycheck to this day from the Diocese of Buffalo. There was a child abuse lawsuit accusing him of being a pedophile a few weeks ago, but yet the people in the diocese, in the pews, are still paying for his retirement here as he collects another salary at a Lutheran church. So this is something that I think the scandal is shocking to a lot of people, but I think what really angers them, and this is the way they're able to express it, is the finances here. People don't want to feel like they're being conned. They don't want to feel like we're putting our money in the basket here. We're supposed to be helping, you know, keep the lights on here. And what else is it really going to?
I want to thank everybody who's been on hold for a while now trying to get on. We'll go to Michael in Cheektowaga. Michael, thanks so much for holding. What did you have to say for Charlie?
Yes, I thank you for taking my call. I would encourage, I'm a Catholic, I'm 75 years old, my children were raised Catholic, I was an altar boy, et cetera. I never had any problems whatsoever. So maybe I don't know whether we're in the minority or the majority, but I would encourage all the Catholics to read a book that came out by Bishop Robert Barron, Letter to a Suffering Church. And in this book, the bishop states that there are wicked men, unfortunately, in all forms of life. And he encourages his brothers and sisters in the church to stay and fight. And I think that's very, very important. Our Catholic religion has been based on Christ and three persons, and not just on priests. Now, granted, there's a lot of things that have happened, and it's a shame, really, for those that that occurred and that happened. But it happened. So now we have to forget, or not maybe forget, we have to go on. And there are a lot of good priests. I've talked to a few priests that are shocked and are dismayed at what has happened. And how do we look at them? My question to Charlie is, has anybody gone to the Vatican? Now, the reason I mentioned that is the Vatican, the Pope, is a Jesuit. I'm not Jesuit educated. My children are Jesuit educated. And believe in the Jesuits. Now, this Pope was a humble man. I want to know whether Charlie or anybody has gone to the Vatican or requested. This is above the Buffalo Diocese now. Okay, we hear last night Archbishop Dolan makes a statement. He's following it. What does that mean? I want to go over his head. Like anything in the corporate world, you go to the top. Has the Pope not answered? I understand in talking to several priests that there is a problem in the Vatican.
All right, Michael, we'll give Charlie a chance, and thank you for the call. Giving the Pope a call?
That's a great question. Don't have his phone number, but I have actually tried to get through there, and I was making some progress last year when our stories broke. I was able to get through to the Pope's spokesperson, Greg Burke, who promised me after our stories published that he was looking at these stories and that he was going to get back to us. Unfortunately, a few months later, he lost his job at the Vatican as communications director. There's an Italian man there now, and we have not had success getting through to him. I will say, though, our friends at ABC News are planning on asking Pope Francis a question about this when he gets off the papal plane for one of his recent trips. There's a process, you know, that journalists figure out where they're going to ask what questions. And they do plan on asking Pope Francis a question about this, about the Buffalo Diocese. So we'll see what comes of that.
Yeah, very interested to see that. Want to get to one more call before we have to take a break. Sue in Tonawanda, you're on WBEN.
Hello.
Hi, Sue. You're on with Brian and Charlie.
Hi, Brian, Charlie. This is your friend Sue Marino. I have to tell you what you are doing is very brave, and you've been very righteous in reporting what needs to be told. This has been a long time coming. And, Brian, thank you for inviting Charlie and having the media work together because you have to work together. This is an epidemic. My brother knew about the abuse in the late 80s, and they need transparency, as Peg said, and you are not going to get that from the diocese. To the community at large in Western New York, this is not a question about faith. This is a question about men doing very wrong things to children. It has to stop. While Malone has said in previous comments that this was inherited, he could have changed that, and he chose not to, because the diocese, their importance is assets, assets, and money. And what people have to do is stop giving, because that will make a change. We're not saying don't believe anymore. Faith is very strong. Charlie's a Catholic. His family's Catholic. My brother was a Catholic priest. But there comes a time when you have to do what's right. And what has been done to children and young adults, abuse is abuse. And some of these men have groomed these kids, and then when they were vulnerable, then they did the abuse. That has to stop. To Father Bissonnette, he's right. The priests have to come forward and support him. I know we didn't have that many when Joey died, but there is retribution. They are afraid of what the bishop's going to do. The bishops have too much power and control, and that has to be eliminated.
Hey, Sue, we thank you so much for the call. Charlie, do you hear that a lot, people saying, and we've kind of been hearing it more and more just over the past week, stop putting money in the basket?
I do hear that. There's people who are conflicted because there's people who want to donate money because they want to see their church, you know, the lights stay on in the church. But then on the other hand, they're saying, well, am I sort of being complicit in this? Is this money going to, you know, Terry Connor's law firm? Is this money going to paying abuse victims? So they're conflicted. I think that we have heard a lot of what, so Sue, just for background, Sue is the sister of Father Joe Marino, very popular priest, who died in 2012. There's some dispute about whether Father Joe committed suicide, as the police have said, or whether he was silenced for, as Sue believes and her family believes, for trying to sort of be a whistleblower 7 years ago. There are some letters that were found in his apartment that would suggest that he was collecting information on a group of sexually abusive clerics, and that he was perhaps silenced for it. So she was sort of in this before it was popular to be in this. I've heard she makes the point about the bishop having too much power. It really is shocking for people, I think, when they look at this, and now we're seeing a sense of anger and frustration that no matter what Catholics believe, it doesn't matter how many emails you send, it doesn't matter how many protests you have, you essentially have a bishop who's saying, it doesn't really matter. I'm going to be the one to make the decision. Thank you very much. And the only people that do matter are the priests. And I think a lot of Catholics would tell you that that is part of the problem, that the people who matter in the Catholic Church are the priests and the bishops. They have a term for that called clericalism, where they sort of see themselves as being above everyone. And many have pointed to that as part of the cause of the abuse crisis. I think with the Movement to Restore Trust, what they're trying to do is give back some of that power more to the laity, more to the regular people in the pews than to, but to your point about this being, you know, a scandal where, you know, the church structure, there is really no accountability mechanism as it exists today in the Catholic Church. We have a president, the accountability mechanism in the United States government is Congress, is the Senate, to hold the president accountable. We don't really have that in the Catholic Church. We have the laity, you know, but above them we have the priests, and people are supposed to follow them. The priests follow the bishop follows the Pope, and we go from there.
Yeah, and you know, it is worth noting, Congress and the president, they live in the same town. They're pretty close to each other. I mean, Buffalo and the Vatican, you know, somewhere else in the Vatican. I know we're living in 2019. There is modern technology, but there is something to be said about the distance, you know, literally and figuratively between the two.
Absolutely. And I think that's some of the frustration that so many people have expressed, is that, if you can believe this, the Pope has been criticized. One of his main advisors to this was Cardinal Sean O'Malley of Boston, who has been critical of Bishop Malone and his handling of the abuse crisis. If you read reports in the Wall Street Journal and other reputable newspapers, Cardinal O'Malley has sort of fallen out of favor with Pope Francis because he is seen, believe it or not, by other cardinals in the Vatican as being too hard on priests. So there's other cardinals in Rome that believe that American bishops are being too forthcoming and are being too proactive in dealing with the abuse crisis, which is almost the complete opposite of what most Catholics in America are feeling today. So there's definitely a cultural barrier.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, so much more with Charlie coming up. We're going to try to get to as many of your calls as possible. If you're with us, stay on the line while we take a quick break. WBEN News Time, 11:23. Okay, we don't have too much time here. Let's go to the phones. Bob in Amherst, you're on WBEN. Quickly, if you could, your question for Charlie.
Charlie, good work. Thank you. Please don't stop. Keep it up. First question, I got two of them. Number one is on WBEN's website. There was a link to change.org for a petition for Malone to leave. They have over 10,000 signatures or replies to that. Do you have any feeling about that particular change.org petition? Do you have any knowledge about what's behind it or the accuracy of it?
I think that was started actually last year when our first stories came out, and it seems to have gotten a few thousand signatures just in the last week as these most recent revelations with these recordings have been put out there. I believe it was started by a Catholic, might even have been the same Catholic who called in earlier, and this was sort of a grassroots thing. I honestly don't know much about it. You know, as a reporter here, I'm in a delicate situation because I'm trying to report the facts about these matters, but I really can't take a side, and I don't want to take a side about this. So where I do provide people with information about, you know, these sorts of petitions, but I do not go out of my way to encourage or discourage anyone to sort of do this sort of thing. But I do think generally it is always good to see, you know, when we report on something, that people are actually trying to take action on their own and do something, whether it's protesting or calling into shows like this. I think that we always like to see that people do care. And, you know, the thing that stuck with me with these petitions and stuff is that people in Western New York really care about the Catholic Church. They really love the Catholic Church, and it's heartening to see. It's great. It means that they're here and they want to see their church be a better church. And I think that is a great sign. Whether their leaders are going in the right direction is the question here. So, but it is a good sign that people care enough that they still are taking steps like this to take action.
And Bob, I'm really sorry we have to run for the news. It's 11:30 on WBEN.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, thanks, everybody, for sticking with us. Brian here alongside Charlie Speck from Channel 7. It's been great to be able to take some of your calls. A lot of good information being passed and an interesting opportunity to be able to look at this in a more in-depth manner. And I know a lot of you have been waiting on hold for some time, so we'll go straight to Mark in South Buffalo. Mark, you're on WBEN.
Hello.
Hi, Mark. What question did you have for Charlie?
Mine is more of a statement, and when you look at the most recent story that came out involving Richard Burnett and what they call the love triangle, when the story first broke, it was very shocking to people. But in the age of social media, as things started to come out, like deeds showing that the two of them owned houses together, or then you're actually seeing letters or you're seeing pictures, the reaction that I seen was a shift where people are going, holy, wow, this is really, there's a lot more to this story than what meets the eye. When I hear the statements like, how come priests aren't reacting? The questions that I'm hearing from many, many priests is, why is this priest coming forth now? Why didn't they come forward before? Why didn't this priest come forward to expose tapes regarding child victims? Why did the priest just wait for a situation where it involved their friend, which shows favoritism? It's, my friend has a problem, now I'm taking an interest. Other people were having a problem. Why now? Why not 6 years ago? Why not 5 years ago? 6 years is an awful lot of time to be in the bishop's office and to just come forward now. And then when we hear things like, you know, gay.com accounts and everything, the reaction that people are having is this the bishop's secretary? Is this a priest? Or is this a seminarian? It sounds like a personal relationship that three people had that went sour, and now the bishop's being run to like he's the daddy, like, daddy, your son just did something wrong to my son, and I want you to straighten your son out. In an age of social media, I think that everything should have come forth at one time, the whole story for both sides. I was one of the first whistleblowers in the diocese, so I am no fan of the diocese. But we have to be fair. We can never come across like we're not presenting all of the facts. So when Richard is asking, why aren't priests supporting him? And I even heard this on WBN's news, like while waiting to come on the air. It's being presented like they're wrong if they don't support him. Well, maybe he has to ask himself some questions and some hard questions and say, did I do some things wrong myself? That's not saying that everything that he's involved with that he's wrong. It's not saying that he doesn't have credibility in various things that he's putting forward. But we can't make one person a saint and one person beyond question that they're right no matter what, and anyone who's not supporting me, there's something wrong there.
Okay, Mark, sorry, we have to let you go. We have a lot of callers still to get to. Charlie, I did ask you this last week when we had John after the Bishop's news conference. To this story, is maybe, I hate to say that we'd be digging into a story too much, but are we being maybe, when it comes to this particular instance, is everyone kind of bogged down in the semantics of some love triangle when the real issue at hand here and how it pertains to the Buffalo Diocese now is really that issue of transparency and having, you know, being open and honest with the public?
Well, the bishop very much wants the story to be focused on these three priests when, you know, we felt the bigger story was the management of these priests when they are accused of doing something. So, essentially, you have a priest, Father Nowak, who was accused of sexually harassing a seminarian who was a parishioner when he first came into contact with him. And the question is, why was he allowed to remain in ministry for 6 months, even though the bishop and his own people on tape expressed, you know, concern that, oh, this person's dangerous and we can't let him go back in the parish. He might do something to somebody in confession, but yet he was allowed to stay there. I want to address the idea of, you know, because people have asked me, well, what about this love triangle and what about this love letter? So we thought long and hard about this. I sat in front of Matthew Bojanowski and Father Richard, and I took out the letter and I asked them some hard questions about it. And they, I believed them. They had answers. They claim that it's not a love letter, that this is a platonic friendship. Now, certainly when you read that letter without any context, it certainly sounds like a letter that, you know, a boyfriend would write to a girlfriend, or, you know, whatever your orientation that you would write with someone you were intimate with. But Father Richard had explained it to me as something that he was sort of bonding with Matthew over the whole idea that when he was in the seminary, he was preyed upon by a priest, and he saw parallels in Matthew's story with that. We eventually made the decision to focus on the Father Nowak part of the situation because that's the part that involves the management of priests. And essentially, even if you don't believe Father Richard and Matthew, what are we essentially talking about here? An alleged consensual relationship between two adults where nobody is getting hurt? Or are we talking about a situation where a priest is going around to parishioners and without their consent, preying upon them, allegedly, sexually. So we thought that that was sort of the more important part of this issue. We're not really in a position, quite frankly, where we're going to make judgment calls that homosexuality is bad or, you know, heterosexuality is preferred. We're not, as a news organization, in a position where we're going to be making those calls. We thought that to put that out there would sort of achieve the purpose of whoever was doing the blackmailing here, that it would sort of shine the spotlight on something that wasn't the main issue.
Joanne in Buffalo, you're next on WBEN.
Yes, good morning. I wanted to add some comment about Father Richard. I know Father Richard from the Carmelite Monastery, and I know Siobhan O'Connor from the same place. And I, on a personal level, and just in speaking with them, just even in short segments, have felt that they were both always very moral and sincere in their love for God and in their faith. And I never in a million years expected to find out what I did about what happened to Father Richard. I didn't know any of it. And when I found it out, I was heartbroken for him, just having known his character from speaking with him at the Carmel and also at Nativity Church when he first was starting out. And I will say, just to answer some of the other callers who asked about how do you compare child abuse with, you know, adult abuse, and I guess what you want to call an adult or how you want to term the age of adulthood is also questionable, because there are 18 to early 20-year-olds who are not very adult-like. And I know that when it was asked why he didn't come forward sooner, there are a lot of reasons why victims of abuse don't come forward sooner. And, you know, we've obviously spoken about that, and it's been spoken about. It's very difficult to come forward, especially when the people who have been the abusers are people who are in power or hold positions of power over us. And I can speak to that personally, not having been abused by anyone in the church, but having been abused by, as a younger person, by our family doctor. So I only spoke about it to my mother, who dismissed it as part of the routine examination when I was really there for a sore throat. And it went on, and it was never addressed, and I never did anything about it or said anything about it. And when all these cases started coming out through the church, it reignited everything for me. So I understand Father Richard feeling when this happened to his friend, it triggered what happened to him, and it caused him to finally act. Not because he was just protecting his friend and he didn't care about anybody else, but because that's what it triggered. That was the final act that triggered a memory of what happened to him, and he felt like he finally needed to get the courage to speak and to shine light on what was going on. So it takes a lot of courage. It's very difficult. And I have a lot of admiration for both Siobhan and Father Richard. And I hope that we can get through this, all the victims, children, young adults, whomever. And I really sincerely believe in my heart that, being a Catholic my whole life, that this is a cleansing that God has wanted. He wants this to come out. He wants all the evil to be gone from the church, and, you know, he wants it to be the way it was supposed to be. Those with good hearts and good intentions to be the ones who are ministering to people, not those who are abusing their power. So that was all I wanted to say.
Well, Joanne, we thank you for calling us and sharing your story with Charlie and I. And you heard Father Richard kind of explain his reasoning for coming out. We heard a caller kind of question why it took him so long, why only when it was his friend. But, you know, in a lot of these cases, it might take something personal to come forward and do something as tough as Father Richard, who now, we talked with him, he's kind of in a limbo situation. He doesn't know where he's going to end up now.
Yeah, in a lot of these cases, it's kind of like that cliche, the straw that broke the camel's back. I remember sitting with, you know, this is not, a lot of people frame this in the idea of, well, there's good priests and bad priests, and either priests have to be all good or they have to be all bad. And, you know, you look at some of these pedophiles who are priests, a lot of them did great work in people's lives, and it's really hard to square that. And if you look at some of the so-called good priests, some of them have skeletons in their closets, too. I mean, we know about a lot of priests who are doing sexual things with, you know, men, women. Most of it is consensual, but we have not reported on that. But they are not necessarily in a position where they're going to speak out mm-hmm. because they have, you know, they are compromised in a certain way. I remember sitting with a priest early on in this scandal. And the priests have, in the diocese of Buffalo, it's kind of like a yearbook. They have a pictorial directory. And I remember saying, Father, how bad is this? And he took his hand and he went through a bunch of pictures, page after page. He said, abuser, 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 pedophile. He's got a girlfriend. He's got a boyfriend. You know, he's got bulls. He's got this. And it was just like my jaw hit the floor. And I thought, these are supposed to be men of God. I thought they were living these kind of angelic lives. The reality is a lot of them are just human beings, and sexuality is something that the Catholic Church has always struggled with, especially in these modern times. And so you have what is essentially a hidden culture of sexuality where all is forbidden. So the example that was brought to my attention was, what if you had a priest where he had a girlfriend and he was living in a rectory with a priest who was abusing children? And, well, what the priest who had a girlfriend realizes that, well, this is wrong. Pedophilia is wrong. I want to say something. Well, that priest who is a pedophile can go to him and say, well, you have a girlfriend. You shouldn't have that either under Catholic law. So there's a blackmailing and there's a secret subculture of sexuality that's sort of coursing through the Catholic priesthood in a lot of dioceses.
And could it be, it's not the same situation at all, but even if you're not under, you know, those circumstances that you laid out, take every time we hear about a shooting at a workplace or a school or something like that, and you have people after the fact come out and say, well, yeah, there was this warning sign. Yes, there was this. Well, the question, why didn't you come out and say something? And, you know, a lot of times the answer is, I don't know. I don't know. And sometimes it might be as simple as that. I don't know. Yes, I know in retrospect now it would have been the right thing to do. But at the time, for one reason or another, or maybe you don't know why you didn't come forward.
It's natural. I look at many institutions have failed these children. When you look at the Catholic Church as an institution has failed many of these children. When you look at the criminal justice system, the DAs in Erie County who decided to pass on many of these cases, the police who let these priests run free. The Buffalo News has reported they had a policy in the Buffalo Diocese not to arrest Catholic priests when they were found to be doing things. So those institutions failed. But I would say that we have to also shine the spotlight here on ourselves in the media. Why didn't we question in 2002, when this came out in Boston, why did we believe the Catholic diocese when they told us with no evidence that that there were only a few priests who were bad apples and that the majority of them were good and we didn't have that problem here? We now know that that was not the case at all. So it always boggles my mind that even a year and a half ago, I was walking around Western New York and didn't have any idea this was going on. And I consider myself to be pretty observant. I'm an investigative reporter. I kind of look at things with a skeptical eye, and I didn't know this was going on. So I think there was a line from Spotlight, the movie about the church abuse scandal, where the editor, Marty Baron, says, you know, most of the time we are walking around in the dark, and it's easy when a light gets shined, it's easy to blame people. There's a lot of blame to go around. And I think that's the case in a lot of our institutions. I think going forward, the important thing is that we do know about this now, and that maybe if something does happen tomorrow in a Catholic school or a public school or anywhere, that someone will stand up and say, you know what, I heard about that story on TV, I heard about that story on the radio, and I'm not going to let that happen again.
We'll take a quick break. We still have couple more minutes when we come back with Charlie Specht here on WBEN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.